Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction. And its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% of attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO. Big thanks to them for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org. And now I want to turn right back to Russell Brand, who's got something on his show that I think is pretty darn valuable.
We told you before that we were going to be looking at the extraordinary claim that your government spent money to ensure that the legacy media promoted COVID-19 vaccines. This is astonishing. You have Pfizer funding, I think, 75% of all cable news, and now you have the government pushing to promote vaccines. Is this democracy? Is this the world you want to live in? Is this a world that you can afford to remain slumbering in for a single second? And further, here's the news. No, here's the effing news. You already know how much money the legacy media receives from Big Pharma, don't you? Well, how would you feel if you found out that the federal government also paid the media to promote vaccines during the pandemic? Well, I feel like something very suspicious was going on. Well, get ready. We know now that authoritarianism is on the rise. It's not in the form of militant dictatorships, but technological dictatorships, always seemingly in order to advance your safety and your convenience. As in today's story, the federal government paid media organizations to promote vaccines during the pandemic. It's as simple as that. During the time where people that were hesitant, suspicious about new, untrialed medications were shamed and told that they shouldn't be allowed admission into hospitals, amidst the plethora, almost too numerous account of untruths around whether or not they prevented transmissions or even were trialed, where it came from, whether or not certain information was repressed or suppressed, whether young people needed to take it, how effective booster shots were, whether or not deaths were being recorded properly, whether or not adverse injuries, all of that stuff. Additionally, your government, that means your money, because remember, your government's money is your money. They don't have any independent money, and when they get it, they invest it pretty quickly in the stock market, let me tell you, curiously, into big pharma companies. They were spending taxpayer dollars promoting vaccines through the media. This is an extraordinary story and revelation. It's not been widely reported. I wonder why that would be, perhaps, because it shows that the government and the legacy media are cooperating to bring about conditions where ordinary people have limited access to information and are exposed to information that is subsequently proven to not be true. Let's get into this story. Remember, we stream every day at these times. We'd love you to join us there because this movement needs to move fast. So this first commercial was paid for by the Department of Health and Human Services. Or another way of saying that is you paid for this.
Luis and Roberta think they got COVID at dance class. Mike thinks he got it at his family reunion. Nancy blames the carpool. One thing they have in common, their natural immunity has worn off.
Natural immunity is worn off. Natural immunity will do that to you. Just wears off. Unlike this vaccine that we're paying for, you're paying for, and this advert that we're paying for, you're paying for, it never wears off. It's 98% effective. Sorry, no, don't ask questions about percentiles. What do you want us to start passing audits like the Pentagon? The Pentagon never pass audits, and they're not involved in the funding. Oh.
But they can...
I love it. So, and I'm sure many of you saw these ads and you just shook your head. Just, they're just lying outright in these ads. I've seen the ads online. You probably have seen them, and you just sit there and say, why do we have to be assaulted with this stuff? But it's not just being assaulted. You're being hit with a cudgel you paid for. They're lying about natural immunity. They have been lying about natural immunity all along. And then they continue to lie about the jabs. And I could have shown, in fact, I was going to try to grab it, but I got called away. I had a phone call. In the 15 minutes that I had spared just before the show, I thought, oh, I want to get that montage of the music playing, the classical music playing, as the predictions on the efficacy of the jabs kept going down week after week after week, until you finally see Rochelle Walensky like, well, yeah, they don't work, you know, and then put in that woman, what's her name, Smalls, talking with Roots, the dude who's the Roots, the dude from the Netherlands, who's an EU Parliament member, and what is it, Patricia Smalls or something like that. When she was like, oh, no, we had to go by the speed of science. We didn't know whether they were efficacious at all. And yet they claim they were 90-something percent efficacious, you know. Just amazing. So let's go back to Russell. Here we go.
Percent effective. Sorry, no, don't ask questions about percentiles. What do you want, us to start passing audits like the Pentagon? The Pentagon never pass audits, and they're not involved in the funding. Oh.
But they can restore their protection with an updated vaccine. Because getting COVID again means risking long COVID, or even hospitalization.
Let me know in the comments if you can think of any other situations that might lead to hospitalization, or worse.
Get your updated vaccine, because COVID can be anyway.
We can do this.
We can do this. That's their slogan. That, at least, I agree. We can do this. We can do whatever the hell we want. And yeah, you'll pay for it. What an extraordinary world. What an extraordinary story. Let's look at the details now and see if it can help us adapt our worldview, awaken, and oppose the kind of corruption that seems all too present continually. Mainstream media's nearly monolithic coverage of mRNA vaccines and other COVID measures can be at least partially explained by clear financial interest. Yes. Recently, a Freedom of Information Act request filed by the conservative media company, The Blaze, found a number of major media outlets were paid to promote the COVID vaccine. Such venues included, get ready for a list of the usual suspects, The Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, NBC, CNN, Fox News, and several others. Oh. The whole of the legacy media. The Blaze's report received little coverage, even in conservative media, perhaps because some of those outlets were also paid by HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, ideologically predisposed to criticize government-fueled narratives on the pandemic. As The Blaze reports, hundreds of news organizations were paid by the federal government to advertise for the vaccine as part of a comprehensive media campaign. This is a media campaign. It's comprehensive. Well, I can't comprehend it. It seems corrupt and incomprehensible. According to documents The Blaze obtained from the Department of Health and Human Services, they have to use Freedom of Information Act rights and legislation to get it. This information is not freely available. You have to go, give us the information. Come on, give it his freedom. You don't need this information. Can't we tell you in 75 years when you're all dead? The Biden administration purchased ads on TV, radio, in print, and on social media to build vaccine confidence, timing this effort with the increasing availability of the vaccines. Vaccine confidence should be related to vaccine efficacy and transparency. Wouldn't you agree that your confidence in any government project ought to be based on transparency, authenticity, integrity? Or do you just want to be told stuff, denied access to all of the information, and shamed if you don't participate? The latter would be more effective and work more quickly. Well, just do that then. During the vaccine rollout, the Biden administration made a number of efforts to bolster vaccination rates. They certainly did. My God, do you remember all the dancing about, the musicals, the singing, the shaming? It was extraordinary. You've probably forgotten it's happened because you're traumatized and you've parked it somewhere. But
Believe me, it happened. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services COVID-19 public education campaign states they employed both paid advertising and media interviews, presentations, radio TV tours, and other public events to educate people about the importance of vaccination. The word educate there.
I'm just going to educate you about the importance of vaccination. And now we're going to educate you about the importance of prison.
Here is the legacy media literally presenting information as if it was news, when in fact it was propaganda. If by propaganda you mean information that was paid for by the state and was not revealed to be state-sponsored information in order to exert mind control, is that a good definition? Well, I don't know if this is a good definition. Colin, mocking anti-vaxxers, COVID death is ghoulish, yes, but maybe necessary. That was it. They went in hard. Yes, it's ghoulish. Once you acknowledge something's ghoulish, you can't continue with it. It is ghoulish, isn't it?
Yes, so, but necessary.
What? It's something that a ghoul would do. That's the risen dead. You've got to deal with the actual dead. Some of them died very suddenly for some reason. The HHS website contains public access to all vaccine campaign advertisements for media outlets and beyond. One past advertisement promotes COVID vaccination in children, featuring a montage of selected medical doctors stating in unison, "We can all agree on this. You can trust the COVID vaccine for yourself or your kids or your grandkids. I mean it from the heart." Yeah, we're going to need a rewrite on that because, well, it's not necessary for kids. The grandparents might not be in a position to say this, and the heart is in particular jeopardy. Could we say we mean it from the gut? In another ad directed to parents, HHS selection of doctors state, "We want you to know COVID vaccines are safe and effective." That's what we want you to know. "My grandkids are vaccinated. What's not safe is getting COVID." Well, God, geez, let me know in the chat. What would you rather have at this point? COVID or a vaccination? Is it ethical for the government to dubiously claim COVID vaccines are uniformly beneficial for kids and contracting COVID is far less safe than getting your child double vaccinated? No such randomized clinical evidence exists, suggesting the benefits of the COVID vaccine outweigh the harms in young cohorts with a nearly zero risk of serious outcomes. Moreover, is it ethical for either party, for the federal government, to advertise such medical misinformation on platforms allegedly committed to investigating the truth and holding the powerful accountable? The answer is no, it isn't. Particularly not during that misinformation, malinformation tirade, that time of censorship of true information, the closing down of debate. This is astonishing that this is happening, isn't it? A new government ad on the HHS website now promotes the updated COVID vaccine. It falsely claims the new booster shot prevents long COVID and hospitalization, when the only available evidence from Pfizer and Moderna are rat studies and a 50-person trial with an unexplained 2% rate of serious adverse events. They've got some rats and 50 people. You know, if you see like a poll on the news where it says 50% say that Joe Biden, you look at the bottom, it's like 1,500 people. You go, that's not enough to take seriously in the country of 200 million. 50 people and some rats. Okay, we're going to need 50 people. You'll do. And some rats. Sir, 2% of these rats and people are inexplicably dead. Well, nevertheless, it's a damn fine product, and I'd recommend it for my kids and grandkids. That's from the heart. Sorry, the heart. Wait, give it. Oh, God, I'm not.
So, with that stated, I took a little moment there, folks, and I do have a little something to show you. This is on the back end of my Substack. So let's go to Miss, what is it, Janine Small, and check it out. Make sure this plays here. Here we go.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market. And from that point of view, we had to do everything at risk.
Oh, man. It's so painful. It's like you just sit there and you say to yourself, how can these people exist? Like, where do they even come from? It's like they're fictional characters out of a Dickens novel. You're like, wow. You know, and you know the way Dickens always had a knack for giving characters names that fit their personalities, that sort of thing? I think that definitely applies to this woman. You know, it's just amazing. It's absolutely bizarro, you know. And so I want to go with just a couple seconds more of what Russell has to say here, because I do think it's funny and it's valuable. And here we go.
I'm feeling too good. Get me another rat! Rather than critically covering such propagandistic attempts to promote a longitudinally ineffective therapeutic with a 1 in 800 serious adverse event rate, major media outlets allowed the federal government to freely spread its misinformation on their platform. We can't continue to bring you this revelatory content without your consciousness and your continuing awakening, about these guys. A little
right.
gang,
so
we know, is sticking you.
But let me get your thoughts, everybody, because I do think that when we start to get all this information, whether it's from Matt Taibbi or, you know, we talk about DARPA being involved with the so-called vaccine advertisement and things like that. I do think that the vast population might want to. I get frustrated because, you know, they're not going to watch. They're not going to see it on Fox very much. And I'm certainly not going to see it on CNN. Let me call this one up to you, because I was looking at this a while back. This is actually quite amazing, because we know that the Pentagon was involved, thanks to Sasha Laripova. We know that the Pentagon was involved, and we know that DARPA was involved. In fact, right here, let me just go with this one here for you. DARPA program to offer near immediate doses of vaccine therapeutics and infectious diseases. Okay. And even the Washington Post was all delighted. Let me go up to this one during my search today in my history. Here's this one. How a secretive Pentagon agency seeded the ground for a rapid coronavirus cure. That was July 30th, 2020. So they were calling it a cure. They couldn't possibly have called it a cure. There's no way they could have called it a cure. And we knew all along that it was fake, that they were telling us lies. They could have reported on that, but they didn't do it. They added to it. Now we're discovering that in England, the military, the Royal Air Force, was spying on people to counter their criticism of the lockdowns, even as now in a so-called investigation, Ricci Reach can't turn over his information. So they can spy on you, whether you're in the United States or you're in England or anything like that. They're going to have FISA spy on you some more. And now I want to go into another aspect of the surveillance. This one I just discovered. I tweeted about this. Some folks got to retweet it, and I appreciate that. Here it is. This comes from Grist. The EPA's new methane rule includes an innovative way to so-called stop super emitters. Just very excited about this. Ready for this? Where's that headline? Hold on a second. Let me bring it down there for you. They're going to stop the super emitters. Of what? Oh, yeah, that dangerous stuff that they can't prove is dangerous in any way whatsoever, and continually manipulate data and then claim that they have to stop us from actually bettering our lives. And they're going to tax our use of things like fossil fuels, so-called fossil fuels, petrochemicals. They're going to restrict our ability to travel. They're going to stop us from buying certain products like light bulbs. So here it is. Scientists with NASA's, so the way I, just to give you the heads up on this one, everybody, the way that I put this out on Twitter/X is I mentioned that this is just a new form of unwarranted surveillance. And it is predicated on a punishment regime of so-called regulations without trial, where they can fine you for using certain things or doing certain things that they say are verboten. Okay, so here it is. Scientists with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory were flying a plane equipped with a visible infrared imaging spectrometer over an oil field in California's San Joaquin Valley when they made a worrisome discovery. Oh, my goodness, no. Images produced by the device revealed a large plume of methane lingering in the air. How can that be? How could you ever get methane in a place where there actually is methane that is naturally produced? Oh, no. Yes, folks, we're talking about aerial surveillance to find out your energy output. That's what they're looking at. And it's not just planes where they're going. The plane made flights over the field for several more weeks. The plume shifted and changed shape with the blowing wind. Oh, but its presence persisted, indicating that its source could be a leak at the oil well. The scientists notified the operator. Soon, the plume disappeared. The leak, coming from a small fuel line, had been repaired. Well, that's very nice, but it's not so nice. This is the essence of proactive measurement. Yes, folks, again, blocking you from engaging in an activity, even though no one has claimed harm in a common law pattern, no one has actually said in a tortious way, you harmed me or my property. The government is stepping in the way saying, you cannot engage in this activity. You can't do this. You can't do that. Putting on my little gloves here. It's cold in here. You can't do it. So this is what they're calling proactive measurement. This, according to Riley Duren, one of the scientists involved in the flights and now CEO, I wonder if they might start currying favor with the government, of Carbon Mapper, told Grist. He said, it's a good example of how you would want it to work. The leak detected in July 2020 was what's called a super emitter. Oh, there you go. Super genius. It's a super emitter of, you know, the gases that aren't causing catastrophic climate change. The term refers to events, again, tortious claim, prove harm, individuals, governments, and corporations are not individuals. The term refers to events in which a lot of methane is quickly expelled or to infrastructure that releases a disproportionately large amount of the evil gas, whatever gas it is. And they might pick other gases in the future that are also evil, but that's okay because John Kerry can handle that. Maybe he'll get up in his flying magic jet, his aeroplane, and maybe he'll get an extra seat. Because, of course, his ego is rather obese. In oil and gas production, events can occur on purpose as part of routine processes like venting. Yeah, or by accident due to faulty equipment or human error. Whoa. However, they happen. Super emitters release a particularly insidious greenhouse gas. Although it only stays in the atmosphere for about a decade, methane is 28 more times more potent than carbon dioxide, which is not potent in this atmosphere. They constantly tried to make some sort of syllogistic connection to the Venusian atmosphere when the Venusian atmosphere and environment doesn't utilize the carbon to help things grow. Meh. And it is trapping heat in the atmosphere, even though we'll see a little something from Tony Heller. That is another indication that, of course, they are wrong. There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You USA News update. In Rudy Giuliani's defamation trial, jurors have granted nearly $150 million to two Georgia election workers. The verdict concluded he had defamed the poll workers in 2020. Afterward, Giuliani said, it's not over.
Possibly we'll move for a new trial. Certainly we'll appeal. The absurdity of the number merely underscores the absurdity of the entire proceeding.
Giuliani had accused the workers of being involved in stealing the 2020 presidential election from Trump. President Biden's job approval rating has reached a record low. According to a recent Pew Research Center poll, only 33% of Americans approve of the president's job performance. Israeli forces have acknowledged responsibility for unintentionally causing the death of three hostages held by Hamas during a conflict in northern Gaza Friday. IDF troops fired upon them after initially perceiving them as a threat. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. You can find Liberty Conspiracy online Monday through Friday, starting at 6 o'clock Eastern Time on Rumble and Rockfin. You can join the chat there, or you can listen and watch at my Twitter feed, which is at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. And, of course, you can always find the show after the fact at Rockfin and at Rumble. And I really hope that you like what you're hearing and that you'll find us over there. And join us live or after the fact. With the United States guarding things, the 90% of the market that came from Afghanistan of opium-based products turned into 97% of the world market. And now that the United States has left and the Taliban has taken over again, Myanmar has taken over as the top poppy opium producer, and the Afghan production of it has dropped dramatically because the Taliban is stopping it. Now, I don't necessarily think that it's right for anybody to engage in aggressive violence against people like those folks who want to grow poppies in what would normally be a private marketplace. But I do think it's illustrative of something that we've learned about the U.S. government, which is don't trust them and don't trust the military colonialism of the United States. Let's find out about one of its colonial empire offshoots, Israel, and a little something from CNN this morning. Thank you, Daniel McAdams, for getting this out. He says, every bomb made in USA, every dollar to buy every bomb printed in USA, U.S. government is every bit as culpable as the Israeli government in this slaughter. And yet, the United States government, with its NDAA, is still going to be channeling money all over the place. And let's see what the United States has wrought so far in Israel as they start to debate whether or not they're going to be sending another $14 billion to Israel.
We have been trying for many, many weeks now to try to get into Gaza. It has been impossible for us. Up until Tuesday, we were able to travel inside with some medical volunteers who are working at a newly established, newly built field hospital that has been set up by the United Arab Emirates in the southern part of Gaza. As you know, the southern part of Gaza is now very much the focus of Israel's military operations. That is exacerbating an already dire humanitarian catastrophe and leading to...
And as I mentioned, folks, I mentioned it and I'm going to mention it again. The minute that I heard the Israeli Defense Force people telling these people that were forcing out of their homes, just go to the south, go to the south. Everything's cool. We're telling you to go to the south. I knew immediately that they were going to start bombing the south. And that's exactly what they have done.
To record numbers of civilian casualties as we saw for ourselves. You don't have to search for tragedy in Gaza. It finds you on every street, strewn with trash and stagnant water, desolate and foreboding. So we've just crossed the border into southern Gaza. This is the first time we've actually been able to get into Gaza since October 7th. And we are now driving to a field hospital that has been set up by the UAE. Up till now, Israel and Egypt have made access for international journalists next to impossible. And you can see why. Since October 7th, the Israeli military says it has hit Gaza with more than 22,000 strikes. That by far surpasses anything we've seen in modern warfare in terms of intensity and ferocity. And we really, honestly, are just getting a glimpse of it here. Despite Israel's heavy bombardment, there are people out on the streets. A crowd outside a bakery. Where else can they go? Nowhere is safe in Gaza.
It used to be a stadium.
Arriving at the Emirati Field Hospital, we meet Dr. Abdullah Al-Nakbi. No sooner does our tour begin when...
our ambulance. Battery life.
And this is what you hear all the time now?
Yes. At least 20 times a day.
At least 20 times a day.
Maybe more sometimes. I think we're used to it.
One thing none of the doctors here have got used to is the number of children they are treating. The UN estimates that some two-thirds of those killed in this round of the conflict have been women and children. 8-year-old Janan was lucky enough to survive a strike on her family home that crushed her femur but spared her immediate family. She says she's not in pain, so that's good. Her mother Hiba was out when it happened. I went to the hospital to look for her, she says. And I came here, and I found her here. The doctors told me what happened with her, and I made sure that she's okay. Thank God.
Clearly a terrorist. Clearly that child. That little girl. Oh, I had to take care of her. Got to get her out of the way, you know. There's a lot more. I won't show it. I just wanted to say that, you know, CNN was covering this. And got to acknowledge, because I'm often very critical of CNN. The information is really valuable. There's a lot of very valuable information from a lot more independent journalists, but just to acknowledge what CNN was doing there. And again, to bring up the fact that, as U.S. sources are starting to pick up on this information, none of us should have to be deciding anything about this stuff, right? It's just amazing. And yet, what do we see? We see people in Congress who, if we are critical of you know what, they pass that resolution to say that we can't be critical of the state of Israel because that's somehow anti-Semitic. And now they just did this. House passes resolution urging Harvard MIT presidents to resign after tense campus anti-Semitism hearing. Yeah, this is that wonderful Stefanik. The House passed a resolution Wednesday condemning anti-Semitism on college campuses and calling on the presidents of Harvard and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology to resign after the school leaders testified in a hearing on the topic and offered answers the House resolution claimed were evasive and dismissive. The resolution passed 303 to 126. And, of course, we know that Liz McGill from University of Pennsylvania resigned a few days ago. They're targeting Claudine Gay of Harvard. There's other stuff about her, whether she plagiarized or not. Got a little segment I want to show you about that. And MIT President Sally Kornbluth. And, of course, we have the bipartisan resolution was brought by GOP Conference Chair Representative, wink, wink, Elise Stefanik, Republican of New York, who helped question the school leaders, as well as House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, Representative Jared Moskowitz, Scalise is a Republican of Louisiana, Jared Moskowitz, Democrat of Florida, and Josh Gottheimer, Democrat of New Jersey. Know thine enemy. So, let's take an opportunity now to remember what Glenn Greenwald had to say as they grilled the former head of the University of Pennsylvania. And again, we know that they were woke. We know that there's a lot of identitarianism going on these campuses. It's cultural Marxism, right? And we are seeing this massive amplification of exactly that among the conservatives who used to be critical of the identity politics and the cultural Marxism, because it just didn't seem to serve their purposes when it was happening on college campuses. So if it was Black Lives Matter or Antifa or something like that, the LGBTQ stuff, that didn't serve their purposes. But when it's Israel, it serves their purposes. I wonder why. I wonder why. I wonder what contractors might promote the United States continuing to give weapons to Israel. I wonder what lobby might work really hard to give money to various politicians, like we noted here, like Israel. That's right. Even the speaker. Nearly $100,000 from Israeli lobbyists. So Glenn Greenwald mentioned this a couple days ago. This is from the Washington Post's editorial department. I genuinely appreciate candor in political discourse when people say what they really want and mean, like below. It's clarifying. Its key argument inside this was there's too much free speech on campus and censorship is needed to curb bigotry. Of course. Of course. So now the conservatives and the rhinos, they're all in line with the Washington Post that they used to look at as being their enemy, but not anymore because it's about Israel. Universities must also consider their obligations to the broader society as they prepare young people to assume responsibilities in public life. And, of course, missing from all of this is anybody discussing the fact that these people who are trying to support Israel against the fascist, evil neo-Nazis who happen to maybe criticize a state policy of growth and encroachment into Gaza, of policing Gaza and corralling those people and bombing them, holding people without trial inside Israel for more than a year, that sort of thing. And of course, receiving our money at the end of government guns, the business end of government guns. Those people who are critical of that, well, those people who are critical of that, we got to realize that we have to just shut up. And them telling us to shut up, or them going after university professors or presidents, I should say, calling them in front of Congress to answer questions, that in no way harkens back to Nazism. That in no way harkens back to collectivism, statism, fascism. Has nothing to do with it. You got to get yourself on board here for the current America. America isn't fascist, even though Congresswomen like Ms. Stefanik call people up to demand that they answer questions. Like this. Let's just see how wonderfully calm and not grandiose and grandstanding Stefanik was. I haven't shown any of this stuff on the show, but I want to show you just how pressing and intense and rabid and showboating this woman was, never realizing the recursive feedback loop of exactly what she represented. The very thing that she claims she's against, which is bringing down the minority person, that sort of thing, is exactly what she exemplified, because it is collectivism manifest writ large right here as she starts to press a person who should be completely free from having to answer questions from Congress. The caveat that I want to add to this is the really big lesson, which is, as I mentioned yesterday, Harvard gets federal money. That's the area where Stefanik could have actually brought something up. But of course she doesn't, because she doesn't care about the government giving money to Harvard or any other college. She cares about trying to score political points that would be pro-Israel points, and trying to manipulate that with a twofer win for her to then attack a person that she sees was woke previously. In this case, Ms. McGill from University of Pennsylvania and others from MIT and Harvard. Let's watch. You got to see this. I think you'll be amazed by this.
At MIT, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate MIT's code of conduct or rules regarding bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It targeted at individuals, not making public statements.
Yes or no? Calling for the genocide of Jews does not constitute bullying and harassment?
So again, here's the thing. And again, this is losing the forest for the trees. Right? Missing the forest for the trees. If people concentrate, and this is what I kept hearing on talk radio, if people concentrate just on the back and forth, the exchange of is it or is it not? Is it or is it not? How about the manifestation, the display of fascism right in front of our faces? Stefanik is the face of fascism here. And any of these people from these colleges, they are receiving federal money. But Stefanik doesn't acknowledge that. Instead, what she does is engage in outright, full-on, nitro-fueled fascism, not even acknowledging that they might have some leverage over these schools to say, hey, you know what? We are acting in an unconstitutional way. We're giving you grants and all sorts of money. We shouldn't be doing that. We're going to stop that, regardless of your positions and whether we agree or disagree. That is wrong. It's not constitutional and it's not moral. But Stefanik doesn't buy into that level. She buys into being a fascist, thinking she can bully around what she sees as private institutions. She thinks that they're perfectly open doors for the government to come in and say, you've got to stop these people from, as we see, harassing other people. Where does the federal government get off doing that? Even if harassment was happening on Harvard or MIT or UPenn campuses, right? Even if it was, where does the United States government get off doing anything about that? It has no power to do that. Stefanik is absolutely, just manifestly way off base here, and she really shows what a perfect example of the United States, that what you're seeing there on that screen, that might as well have been in Berlin. This might have well have been a body in the Reichstag before it burned. This is what this is like. Here we go.
At MIT, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate MIT's code of conduct or rules regarding bullying and harassment, yes or no?
It targeted at individuals, not making public statements.
Yes or no? Calling for the genocide of Jews does not constitute bullying and harassment?
I have not heard calling for the genocide for Jews on our campus.
But you've heard chants for intifada.
I've heard chants, which can be anti-Semitic depending on the context, when calling for the elimination of the Jewish people.
So those would not be according to the MIT's code of conduct or rules?
That would be investigated as harassment, if pervasive and severe.
Ms. McGill, at...
Again, in a free world, how about this, Ms. Stefanik? In a free world, without any government, without even considering the Constitution, which still doesn't give you any power to go into that, but in a real free world, if you didn't want to go to those schools, you wouldn't have to. If somebody were at those schools and they found there was a breach of contract, that they weren't being protected by the private police agency, then they could sue them and go through a private, not tax-funded adjudication system, where my neighbor wouldn't be forced to pay for it, and they could be left out of all the disputes. But no, you've got to involve everybody, not even in the disputes at these schools, but disputes in Gaza and Israel, where I'm never going to go. You've got to tie me into whether or not innocent kids like that girl in the hospital are going to be in front of the guns, and the Israelis are going to freely blow her to pieces. Because that's what you're tying us into with all of this nonsense rhetoric.
Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment.
Yeah. I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
There's more.
Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer yes, Ms. McGill.
Again, you see how righteously indignant this woman is. She's not talking about Palestinians getting killed. She's not talking about any of that stuff. And regardless, we shouldn't have to talk about this stuff. If somebody wants to personally get interested in it, that's fine. But when you see that little girl in the hospital room on the CNN report, they force us all to be making decisions about that. They force us all to have to be in that philosophy class where they line up the kids in the image and they say, okay, behind this is a killer of 100 people. Are you willing to kill those kids to go after the killer of 100 people? He could kill more. And this is what's interesting about this. Let me just mention this to you is if you watch the there's a series of videos. I can't even remember what they are. It's two brothers and they're terrible. And it's called something. They're on YouTube and they're partially funded by PBS, your tax money. And it's something like, you know, short order philosophy or quick philosophy or whatever. And I've mentioned this before. They got into this sort of consequentialist idea where they brought up Batman. And they said, yeah, you know, in Batman's long struggles with the Joker, he always has a strict no-kill policy. So he apprehends the Joker, and the Joker goes to jail, but the Joker always gets out and kills somebody. So shouldn't Batman just, you know, kill the Joker already? And in the end, they actually answer the question like, yeah, Batman should kill the Joker, because Batman's partially responsible, if he doesn't kill the Joker, for all those other deaths. And you say, no, he's not. Batman is not responsible for any of those deaths if he doesn't kill the Joker. The Joker's responsible for those deaths. That's all. So if you're pulling the trigger, if you're supplying the weapons, if you're paying for the military-industrial complex, if you're spouting garbage, useless rhetoric, if you are at that ritual and you are reciting their prayer book from their prayer book, you are culpable. And they want to make all of us culpable with a choice of you either pay or go to jail. So they're pointing their guns at everybody so they can continue to funnel guns to Israelis to kill people. And this woman is putting forward a smokescreen to try to say, first, that somehow the anti-Israeli sentiment is so bad on campuses. I haven't seen examples of it being that bad on campuses. And second, she's overlooking what the United States government has already been doing, funding the Israelis to slaughter the Palestinians and cage them up for decades there. And the culpability of the United States for helping get Hamas to run the government in Gaza. I don't see Ms. Stefanik discussing that. Do you?
So is your testimony that you will not answer yes?
If it is, if the
yes
speech
or
becomes,
no.
If the speech becomes conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
Conduct meaning committing the act of genocide? That's, this is unacceptable, Ms. McGill. I'm going to give you one more opportunity for the world to see your answer. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate when it comes to bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be harassment.
The answer is yes. And Dr. Gay, at Harvard, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
What's the context?
Targeted as an individual. Targeted as at an individual.
It's targeted at Jewish students, Jewish individuals. Do you understand your testimony is dehumanizing them? Do you understand that dehumanization is part of antisemitism? I will ask you one more time.
Listen to that woman. It's like a threat. I mean, it's just amazing. And as we saw, they passed the resolution to call for these people at these institutions. They don't mention in the resolution, hey, the federal government is funding these people and so on and so forth. No. The resolution states Harvard President Claudine Gay and MIT President Sally Kornbluth, who made similar comments, should follow suit of McGill and resign. This is the U.S. government calling for these university heads to leave. These are politicians. These are literally arms of the government saying, hey, you are showing signs of anti-Semitism. We're bringing up echoes of Nazi Germany, the government crushing people's lives. So we in the government are telling you, you are not sufficiently sensitive about this, and we are not acting like Nazis in any way. I was just like, holy smoke, man. Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810.
800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.